Welcome to the Get Wealthy Podcast, where wellness doesn't suck. I'm your host, Michelle Smith.
We feeling wealthy, we getting healthy, we feeling wealthy, we getting healthy, we drinking green juice, moving that good.
Welcome to the Get Wealthy Podcast. Did you like that?
Is that for real?
Welcome to the Get Wealthy Podcast, where wellness doesn't suck. I am your host, Michelle Smith, and I am joined by my rugged yet sensitive, still temporary co-host, Brad Smith.
Hello.
Welcome, Brad.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
We always say that, though. So let's do like a quick, like, how are we really? How are you really today? Like, are you tired?
I'm not tired. I'm good. It's been kind of a busy day.
It's gone by. It's flown by.
It has, yeah.
You know what? Yeah. I'll wait for you to ask me how I am.
How are you doing?
You know, I'm feeling really productive and I'm feeling good.
Good.
This morning we recorded a segment for a local show in the Carolinas. And that went really well. I was not nervous about it, but it was just a lot of prep and work. Yeah. And so thank you for your help with me on that.
Oh, of course.
But it went really well. I was nervous if we had technical issues or the lighting, whatever. It went really great. And then we just finished a wonderful conversation with our next guest, Randy Spelling, who is a life coach. I've known him for a few years now. We first met. You'll hear about that in the episode. But he just has this energy about him I'm so drawn to. He's one of those people that are just good humans.
Yeah.
And I'm really drawn to him and his message and his story. Idea.
Okay.
Ready for it?
Sure.
We need to start a brunch club for our guests because I feel like, I don't know. I really do love like chatting with them and I feel like I could talk to them forever.
Yeah. Well, I think like the thing about what we're doing like with this podcast is like when you're talking, a little bit, but it's not just like a, hey, how you doing? It's not a surface conversation. And it's actually, there's some depth to it. And you actually get to find out about the people that we're speaking with.
Oh my God, I just had an idea.
So at the end of it, it's like, wow, these are awesome people.
I know. I'm like, I love it. And it just spurred an idea.
Uh-oh.
One word. Retreats.
Oh, I was going to say, I get nervous when Michelle says she has an idea.
We'll get to that in a second. Dude, how cool would it be at some point to do retreats?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little self-serving just because I want to hang out with all of our guests so much. But yeah. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Like the ultimate wellness retreat. I would just bring that. I think we could put something so fun together.
Coming in 2021.
We'd need a band, too.
Okay.
To like play music all weekend. I don't know. That's just me trying to figure out.
And now you see why I get nervous when Michelle says she has an idea.
Ideas. I really do have so many ideas. I had two ideas in the last couple of days that you have not been that interested in. Do you want to tell them about one of them?
I don't remember, to be honest.
The exercise move.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so good. I think I invented my own exercise move.
What she did, she took an existing exercise move and then moved her foot like an inch.
No, you pivot. Okay, so let me tell. It's going to be called a drumstick. What is it really called? I can't think of it. Deadlift. How about maybe a rolling in the grave deadlift.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'm bringing you back,
Michelle. It's when you put your feet instead of parallel, you like angle them out to like a little V and you do an angular deadlift. So then you're using the insides of your thighs. It's impressive. It works really well.
So it's like the original move, but moving your foot like
right.
2 inches.
You're isolating a totally different muscle group. So that's the idea. The other idea was the superhero heroine that has a daughter that she finds out is also a super heroine and she's like upset, but then she realizes it's her destiny because she was born that okay. Randy is an amazing guest, you guys. You are gonna love chatting with him or listening to him. You're gonna love listening to us chat with him.
Yes.
How's that? All right. Anything you want to add?
No, it was just a great episode and Can't wait for you guys to hear it.
All right. On to Randy. All right. Randy Spelling, welcome to the Get Wealthy podcast with me, Michelle, and Brad.
Welcome, welcome.
Hey, hey. Good to be here.
Randy, I'm super excited to have you on. So we actually met, the first time we met was probably 4 or 5 years ago when I hosted an event down at Expo down in Anaheim. It was Expo West and I was hosting a little bit, like a little mixer for some brands and influencers. And Randy, I'd reached out to him to see if he wanted to come, and you're just so lovely. You have such a beautiful energy about you. I've learned so much through following you as a life coach on Instagram. And then we were just saying, it was about 2.5 years ago, I was at my book tour stop in Portland and Randy came. And I have to tell you, Randy, it is so nice to look out into an audience of strangers and see a familiar face. So I don't know if I've ever properly thanked you for being there in that moment, but it really did mean a lot.
Oh, I'm glad. You're welcome. It was fun to go and see you talk and have everyone shouting out recipes and favorite things that you do. I have to tell you, when I was at the Expo West, when I got your invitation, I was so excited. It was like the golden Willy Wonka ticket. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm getting an invitation, and it's sort of this exclusive kind of thing. I don't know what it is, but I have to go and meet this woman, Michelle, from the Whole Smiths.
Well, I love it because the whole premise, I'm like, what if we make it like this speakeasy kind of vibe where you have to have like an invite to get in and it feels like super fun. So I'm so happy. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, so I mentioned you are now a life coach, and I love the content you share on Instagram and through your work. It really resonates with me. And I feel you can really identify when somebody has done the work for themselves and moved through something and has landed in a really beautiful place. And I love that you share that with your clients and with us. And I was able to join you a few weeks ago on a live that you did, and you started talking about choices, and choices being, you know, we're going to make choices. Well, everything's a choice one way or another, but it's when you start shifting the energy around those choices. And I loved that because it's absolutely true. And I was like, dang, I need Randy on here to talk more about this and talk about your personal experience around that theme. So I would love for you to just talk to us and our audience about how you've come to a place of being a life coach. Teach us some of your secrets. What have you learned? What can we learn? And what can we take away?
And do it in 2.5 minutes. Go.
Right? And go. Timer's on.
Where to start? Okay. Well, you know, for me, what brought me to the profession of life coaching was a series of choices. Mm-hmm. Many of those choices were unconscious. And I feel like so much of my life, you know, I like to think that I was somewhat conscious, somewhat present, somewhat aware in my life as a kid and a teenager. But looking back, I wasn't. And I don't know how much of that is just, you know, not having the brain developed in a certain way, as we now know through science. I mean, I think there's some of that, but I was born into this unique world of Hollywood. My dad was a famous television producer. And then later on, my sister was a famous actress. And I was born right plop in the middle of Beverly Hills, and people knowing my family around a lot of successful actors, actresses. And it was confusing for me because I was born really sensitive and intuitive. And, you know, being in this world where from the outside, you know, this is what everyone wants, so to speak, right? They want money, they want fame, they want to be recognized and appreciated and have people swoon over them.
Mm-hmm. You were almost born into people's perception of the end result.
Exactly. Right? That's a good way of saying it.
Yeah.
And so it was sort of this reverse engineering of, okay, here I am. This is the world that I'm in. And yet people aren't happy.
Yeah.
Right. People that just because they have all that, I saw people in front of me smiling and having things and accumulating more. And yet they're that didn't bring happiness. It didn't bring fulfillment. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to understand what makes people happy, what truly makes people fulfilled. And so, you know, I cobbled this together growing up. And as a teen, I always said I didn't want to act. And then as a teen, I had a moment where my sister was on Beverly Hills 90210. It was at the height of popularity. And we were in Las Vegas walking through Caesar's Palace, the Forum Shops there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they got mobbed. My father and my sister got mobbed by literally hundreds of people. And I just had this moment where I sat back and I watched this and I saw strangers that otherwise would walk by each other mm-hmm. now have a point to connect.
A common interest, this commonality of like connection almost.
Exactly. And I thought, ooh, I want that because what could I do with that? And I wasn't that conscious of it at the moment, but I thought it was something about this I like that's attractive. So I went into acting, mm-hmm. tried to find my place in the world. And again, a series of choices, right? This is what I chose. Up until then, I did not want to do that because my choice was, my sister's doing it. Not for me. I don't want to be out in front. Not my personality. But mm-hmm. then I saw that and something about it was, well, I want to be liked, right? The ego is probably, well, I want that. I want to feel special.
We're all seeking approval. Like no matter how
of course
conscious we become, it's still there. Like it still can seem on the outside a warm, inviting feeling.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know many people who go out and say, I just want everyone to hate me. I'm fine with that. I love it. Right. Let me put on this outfit today so everyone will scowl at me.
Right? Oh my God. So I feel like a complete outsider. This is great. I feel like too, as a young person, like you said, like we have a level of perceived consciousness about how we're showing up in the world, but there is a level of that consciousness that shifts of like, where in this world is that? You know? So you
yes.
have this experience.
Just look at.
Uh-huh. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, just look at teenagers, right? I mean, you're going to be there soon, right? Okay. I think about it all the time and I flash back to when I was a teenager and it's awkward and the fitting in and the social dynamics. And for me, that's what a lot of life was like, is just, I didn't get it all. I didn't understand why people had to play games to be a part of certain cliques in school. I just wanted to be friends with everyone. I wanted to show everyone love and kindness and respect. And I didn't get it. And I think that carried on through my 20s of just trying to find my place and making sense of a world that didn't make sense. And so part of my story, unfortunately, was tried to find my place and the line just kept moving for me. So my choice was, okay, acting wasn't necessarily bringing that importance that I wanted to feel anymore. So now I'll not only act in television, I'll act in movies. So I would act in movies.
Raise the bar, right? It'll get better.
Raise the bar, right? Gotta have more.
Yeah.
So I did it and I didn't feel what I was looking for. So then I said, well, I love music. Let me get into music. I can be in charge of my destiny. I can put out other artists that can help, you know, bring good music out to the world. And then I remember sitting behind my desk and thinking, well, I don't feel it now. I don't feel what I was looking for now.
So I have a question around that. At the time.
Yeah.
What do you think it was that you were looking for? Do you think that you had identified it, or do you think it was chasing almost something that was not yet identified for you?
Just missing.
I think it was chasing something that wasn't identified. You know, at that age, it's very hard to take stock of life and what you want. You know, it's hard to see the big picture. So I was just putting one foot in front of the other using the tools that I had. And my tools were, what do I have access to in my world that I know?
Yeah.
And at that point, I would never have thought about becoming a life coach or, mm-hmm. you know, helping people. It was just more of an outward fame. And so that's what I was looking for success with and yeah. how to, you know, fill my bucket, so to speak.
Yeah. So where is it? Because I think this is where we get to the real heart of it. Because you've reached this point now and you've been trying these different things and you've realized that you're still not fulfilled. And I think we're getting to this heart of like, what was that pivot point for you to say, like, I've had enough, and start really realizing and recognizing what it was, maybe that, maybe it was figuring out what that definition is for you of feeling good and being successful.
It was pain.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pain. It was being in pain enough. I was, you know, wrapped up in addiction, you know, tried to fill myself that way. That wasn't working. Then I thought, oh gosh, what do I, where else do I go from here? And through a series of missteps, which now I can look at and say, oh, those weren't missteps at all. I had to go through all of those to get to where I needed to be. So through being in enough pain, it was just a moment that I decreed. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning one night, and I just fell to my knees and I just said, please, I do not want to live like this anymore. I don't know what I need to do, how I need to fix this. But I had done a bunch of meditation from about 17 to 22 and was an avid reader. And because of those things, and I had some pretty incredible experiences during that time. Mm-hmm. So I knew what it was like to feel connected spiritually and at least somewhat emotionally, given my age. And I just said, I want that. I want to feel fulfilled from the inside. Forget any of this. I just want that feeling. And after that night, I cleaned myself up and I just said, how do I want to show up in the world? And you asked me about choice, Michelle. That was my big question. Now I have a choice. When I was in the midst of addiction, I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
So what do I want to do with the conscious choice that I have now of how I want to live my life and how I want to show up?
Yeah.
Do you think people need to, I mean, I'm not going to put words in your mouth and say that you hit rock bottom, but do you think that people need to get to that, I guess, that really extreme kind of pain point before?
You stole my question. I was totally going to say that. That's awesome.
It's like you guys are married or something.
Gosh.
I don't think everyone has to hit rock bottom. I do think that, unfortunately, human beings tend to change when they're uncomfortable. Because if everything is okay and things are going well, you don't need to change anything.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny because it's actually a conversation Brad and I have a lot because, you know, I think I've had a little bit more adversity in my life and I have hit my rock bottom and that has prompted a lot of very deep realizations in my life. And I think Brad, you would say, has not had that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was forced to have to kind of look and make those different choices and either continue on or grow and live a life I felt good with. But I think it's hard when you don't almost have that like wake up and you're struggling, but you don't really, you know, so I think it's interesting. And I've always really been interested in that concept. And I think I'm curious too, like with clients and you experience that, how can people who haven't had that necessity almost, I mean, I guess it's a necessity for all of us because struggle is struggle and pain is pain, you know? So I'm curious on that.
Yeah. Well, let's put it in the context of pain, yeah. right? We all have different pain thresholds.
Yeah.
you know, women birth babies, so potentially they have more of a pain threshold than men do. But everyone has different pain thresholds. Some people will sit with a nagging toothache for a really long time. And it's like, you know, it's there. It's in the background. Whereas if you're in acute pain, everything else gets dropped and you say, holy crap, I have to do something about this because it's ruining my life. I can't show up. I can't function. I can't concentrate. I can't do what I need to do.
Yeah.
Some people need the acute pain to say, okay, I'm tapping out. What professional do I go to? How do I get help for this? How do I help myself? Some people are in the dull, aching pain of their life where it's not that bad, right? I can go on like this for a while. Whether it, people stay in relationships and they go, it's not that bad. I'll just go on like this without really doing anything about it. Or, you know, financially, people can tend to have a certain relationship with money where they may need help spending, budgeting, saving, how to attract money, grow money. But yet it's like, I just don't want to look at it. I don't want to pay attention to that right now. Or with anxiety, we were talking about that before we hopped on here. And, you know, that being so prevalent these days, I think a lot of people are just hopeless and they just accept that that is a state in which they may have to live with. Maybe they seek out some medication. Maybe they do something, but they don't go all in and say, I can change this because this is not my normal natural state.
And you feel that misalignment because you know it's not your natural state. You know it's not your genuine self showing up to the world like that.
Well, say that again, Michelle, because maybe a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, Lynn, I'll kind of refer back to that episode. For me, anxiety is a check engine light being on, that something is wrong with, there's something out of alignment. And I think a lot of people, it's hard to look at your life when it's not in alignment because we might see something, whether it's a relationship or a financial situation that we don't want to recognize as being perhaps broken. And so you ignore it. You ignore that check engine light and it just gets louder and louder and it manifests in our body physically in that. So.
Absolutely. Can I share a quick and maybe funny example?
Yes, please do.
So since I always have to bring it back to food.
So do I. It's all good.
Right? I think this is so many now, there's so much food information out there and, you know, gluten intolerance or people who are reacting to dairy or grains or, you know, various allergens. It's kind of the same thing as people many times don't want to look at what's right in front of them. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many people through the years, even though I'm not a nutritionist, I have a lot of information because I've worked with a lot of people in the last 13 years. And people will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, unfortunately, on you know, doctors and chasing medical ailments.
Yeah.
And I've asked a simple question. Have you looked at what you're putting in your body or what you're taking in your environment? No. Has any doctor mentioned that to you? No, not really. They just said, whatever I can tolerate, just eat. And it's the same thing. You have to know what is causing friction. So that check engine light that you were talking about for anxiety or just being out of alignment somewhere in your life, oftentimes it's something right in front of you. And it seems like such a big deal. Like, oh my gosh, I have to stop eating gluten. What? I'm never going to live again. I'm never going to have a sandwich again. My life is going to be over. And you know what happens 3 weeks in for a lot of people? I'm not preaching that everyone has to stop eating gluten. For a lot of people, the anticipation of cutting that out is so bad that they don't do it. And then they do it or they stop refined sugar or something like that. And they go, I feel great. why didn't I do this sooner? I can't believe it. And then, you know, then they're preaching to family.
Oh my gosh,
they right. need to do it.
They show up at Thanksgiving. Is this gluten and dairy in these green bean casserole? We shouldn't be doing this anymore, guys.
Exactly.
Well, I love it. And I think anxiety is just one of the components of check engine, you know, that misalignment. Some people experience more of a depression. Some people experience anger issues. Whatever it is, like when we are misaligned, our body like physiologically reacts to it and something manifests out of that. And I think, you know, we can be in touch enough with ourselves when we are unhappy to now, like you said, how do we start making those different choices? Like once we have that level of consciousness, I think is when things change.
Yes, it is. Awareness
yeah.
is the very first step. And when you're aware of something, you're more likely to change, but that doesn't mean that change is a given.
Right. Because I think it's scary for so many. And it's, like I said, it's really revealing and taking an honest look at what is not in alignment in your life. And there's a level of honesty I think people need to have with themselves if they really want to make that change and make those different choices.
Yeah. So what would that be? What would an example of a level of honesty be?
Yeah. So I'll speak for myself, like in a past relationship, you know, I think I had this idea of what this relationship was and what it was going to be in my life without actually looking at that, who that person, that other person is in that relationship and whether they were ever ultimately going to be able to fulfill this, you know, role I had in mind for that relationship. And it took a series of not good events for me to really wake up and say, I cannot be in this relationship. As much as it's going to hurt to like untangle myself from it, I have to do it. As you know, we are huge fans of Real Coco over here at the Get Wealthy podcast. And I wanted to share with you kind of a behind the scenes scoop on how we became such rabid fans of their products. I'd say it was about 2 years ago, maybe a year ago, that, I don't know, honestly, my timeline is thrown off from 2020. So about a year or two ago, we started purchasing their coconut milk from Costco, and I fell in love with it. I loved the subtle flavor of the coconut because it was perfect for either a sweet dish or a savory dish. And then the consistency was perfect. It wasn't thin and watery, but it also wasn't as rich as a full-fat coconut milk, which again made it so versatile for anything I was using it for, whether it was cooking or beverages. It was a perfect combination. So I started sharing it on social media, and soon thereafter, we started DMing directly. And I have to say the people behind the company are just as lovely as the product itself, which makes it so easy to recommend. But as if that wasn't good enough, this year they came out with an organic dairy-free coffee creamer, which quickly became my favorite. It is so good. It gets so creamy and frothy. It has the best flavor. There's no added sugar. I love it. I love it. And I know you guys will love it too. You can find them at Erewhon and health stores near you. You can also find them on Amazon. And lucky for you, Get Wealthy listeners get 15% off on Real Coco Coffee Creamers on Amazon when you use the coupon code GetWealthy15, and you can get 15% off. Like I said, I promise you will love their products, especially the coffee creamers. Try them out. Let us know how you like them. But I think like when you had mentioned that relationship component and the financial component, the relationship component's really hard, I think, for a lot of people because we're so invested in another human and we can love that human till we're blue in the face, but it's not going to just bring that level of happiness or alignment if it's misaligned.
Yes. And you know, part of relationships, I don't know if I want to open Pandora's box here, right. But I'll just mention this. There's a great form of therapy called Imago. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
Yeah, it's I forget the book name, but it was by a man named Harville Hendricks, I think in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And it's basically, it looks at relational patterns and why people pick and choose the partners that they do. And oftentimes we think it's completely by chance and it's just happening. But what it really is what our patterns from the past attract to us because we are comfortable with that and it's what we know.
Yep. And you know, that was the lesson I pulled out of this. I really had to untangle the person I thought I was in the early environment I was growing up and the needs that person had versus who I was as an adult.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to have to check that out because it's so true. It's, I think people try to heal an old wound with relationships and it doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. I mean, relationships are the best.
Right.
Playground to work out your past. I mean, if people want to heal themselves from past stuff, be in a relationship, but just be conscious in the relationship and know that all of your stuff, all of your childhood patterns, all of your things are going to come up. So realize it, accept it, talk to your partner and say, this is what's going to happen. 5 times a day, I'm going to become 4 years old. Or I'm going to become 12. If you're prepared for that and you can accept me and we can do that dance and try and be conscious together, you might have a working relationship.
Totally. Absolutely. Okay. So you found yourself at a point where you needed to make that change. And so you did. And when was it that you knew? Because for me, I know my growth has also had a spirituality, a component of spirituality to it because I'd experienced that before. And honestly, much like you, I was just like, I want this in my life. Like this feels in alignment for me. So you started on that path. When was it that you realized I want to help other people experience this and get this in their life?
You know, I knew.
Did you know?
I knew at 20.
That's awesome.
I knew at 20, but I didn't know that I was going to be doing that for a living. I said to myself at some point, I want to be doing work in this way with people. I sort of saw the vision of it and just had no idea how it was going to happen. Yeah. And then, you know, I got to this point where I said to myself, I want to make an impact, and it didn't need to be this grandiose way. It was maybe even one-on-one. How can I lead people back to themselves? How can I help guide people to remember who they really are? Because my belief is that, you know, I use the term a lot, reawaken. And I really think that on some level, we are awakened. It's just coming back to this every day. It's a new reawakening of who we actually are, not who we think we are, but, you know, shedding layer by layer in the fact, you know, you've heard the idea we're a spiritual being having a human experience. Yep. So it's really the reawakening to that.
Yeah. I love that. And it's such a beautiful way to look at it. I mean, it feels a bit poetic and I love that. I embrace that.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So
kind of untangling that component of, like you said, of the spiritual being and the conditioned being, like that earthly conditioned being, whether it was, you know, circumstances of our upbringing or relationships or beliefs that you developed about yourself from your interactions with other people, whatever it may be, kind of creates that conditioned self. And so it's really, would you say, kind of figuring out where that soulful being begins and that conditioned self ends?
Yeah, I think You know, I just thought about this. No. I just, you know, what came up as you were talking is the human condition. You know, it's like to a certain age, maybe sometime in our 20s. And again, everyone's different. So this is just a generalization.
Yeah.
We try and figure out who we are. Yeah. Here's who I am. And I know who I am, but it's who you are reflected by other people.
Right. Exactly.
Right. And then you go through this stage of, okay, wait a second. I'm going to try and go deeper, trying to figure out who I am not being reflected by other people. So the idea is, well, who am I not?
Yeah.
Well, I am my parents, but I'm not my parents. I am my siblings, but I'm not my siblings. I am my friends, but also, you know, here's where I'm distinct and different and unique.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's sort of this period of who am I really? Because once you realize that goals are great and achievements are great. I mean, I'm partially a success coach, right? So yeah. I understand the need to succeed and to achieve. I mean, all that is great, but it has to be in tandem with personal, emotional, spiritual success, is feeling successful on a daily basis. Because you can go out and make $1 million, but if your relationships aren't connective, if you're not waking up grateful, if you're not looking out and enjoying when the sky is clear and you can see the moon and the stars and there's something cosmic about that, then something has to be adjusted.
Yeah.
And so basically the goals just need to be aligned as well.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's beautiful. So I want to talk a little bit more about how you work with your clients. I know you do one-on-one coaching. I also know you have some different programs, and I'd love to hear about that and let our audience know like where they can find you, how they can work with you, and expand a little bit more on this in their own lives.
Sure. So I have a few different programs. One program I have is called Freedom Blueprint. It's sort of my signature program. And it's a step-by-step way that you can feel more connected, a way to achieve clarity over and over again for any goal that you have, build your confidence, and a couple other things that I won't go into now. But it's basically a small little blueprint for you to put a goal that you have through and come out the end knowing how to achieve it.
I love that. Does it help you clarify that goal too? Do you find that with your clients too, sometimes it's that clarification that really is the missing component?
Well, clarity is huge. I mean, it's so big. It's like, I want to cook, but impossible. I don't know what I want to make. Yes. Well, I have some ingredients, but are my ingredients good enough?
And I'm not in the mood for any of it.
Right?
Not even sounds good.
Yes. So yeah, clarity, there's so much in clarity. And the reason why I set the program up this way is it goes clarity, then it works on confidence and how to eliminate doubts and fears. And then it goes with how to expand your capacity. Because a lot of times people have goals and they say, well, I have this goal, but am I going to be able to do it? Do I deserve this? And you know, the biggest one, do I have enough time? Do I have enough resources? And so there are ways to expand your capacity so that you feel that you're in the right place to achieve what you want.
I love that because I think that holds people back so much. Like they might even have that clarity and confidence, but if they don't feel they have the capacity or they're looking at all the hurdles of like, oh, well, I can't, you know, I guess that, this, like that capacity part is a huge component.
It's huge. Yeah.
Funny. It actually... I'd been wanting to do this podcast for a while and the capacity thing was what really hit me. I'm like, I don't have this capacity to, but this was what I was really being drawn to. And ultimately we took a trip to Sedona and I came out of it with so much clarity of like, you figure it out. And just, I was, you know, able to find somebody to help me manage this. And put it together, but that capacity thing held me back a lot.
But you did it. So you figured out, you figured out the ingredient that was missing.
Yeah, I did. I think it was, you know, I recognized really, you know, once I realized that I'm going to do this, I was thought about what was holding me back. I'm like, I don't know how to do it. I don't know all the technical stuff. And I don't know if I have the capacity and the time management to be able to do this right now. So finding that person, it's just been this beautiful connection and full circle of it.
That's great.
It's figured out, but I think we're figuring.
Yeah, there you go. It's figuring out. It'll be a continual figure out.
You're in the process.
Yeah, but no, and it's not. It's funny because I think that, you know, it's just something that I recognize I tended to overlook, and I'm not going to let that capacity component stop me anymore.
You go, Michelle.
Thank you, Randy.
I love it. So I have another program, which is called the Sensitive Path to Success. It's one of my favorite programs. I've run it for 5 years, and it's geared towards empaths. Some of the most common trials and tribulations that I see with empaths, how to harness your energy. Because having empathy and being an empath is kind of a superpower. But a lot of times people look at it as I'm too sensitive, or I get drained too easily, or this is hard for me. So I
kind of consider myself an empath, and I can see how it's a hindrance sometimes because you absorb a lot of what happens around you.
You do. And I feel like that is so amazing to be wired that way. I'm an empath too. I did not appreciate that about myself. I didn't even have language for it for so long. But what I've seen in this program, and I've watched for some reason, it's pretty much been all women for the last 5 years. I run it once a year. It is mind-blowing to watch these women come in, and by the end of the program, their confidence has changed, their vocal pattern has changed, they're doing all these things in the world, and they all came in just not knowing exactly what to expect, but knowing that they needed something. And it's what keeps me going year after year, because the changes that I see are just phenomenal.
That's great. Oh, I might have to check out that one, because I feel it. I still feel like I'm a little bit in that hindrance part of it, because it's, well, I mean, that's a whole, empath is a whole other episode. We might have to do a sensitive path to success episode separately, because I could talk forever about
yes, that. Yes.
Okay. So those are two methods.
I have an anxiety program that's coming out in a month.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's I've been working on it for 2 years now with a colleague of mine out of London, and it's a powerhouse. I mean, it's needed right now. I heard a statistic the other day that 1 in 3 people have anxiety, and you know, with everything going on in the world, this is a program designed. It's step by step, walking people through. Here is what you do every single day, so that you can preemptively not feel anxious. And it is, you know, it's not overnight, but it's a 3-month program, and it is something that puts you back in the driver's seat of your life. I think, out of anything, I'm most excited about this, because sometimes I create programs in a vacuum where I'll go, ooh, what do I want to do? And how will this help people? But this was just born straight out of necessity of being connected on social media and, you know, hearing people and having people write me. And it just seems that everything that I'm hearing left, right, and center is anxiety, anxiety, anxiety. So I wanted to give them a method that people aren't talking about, to teach people how to use their conscious and subconscious mind in a way that will help them repattern and reprogram, and also, you know, what they can do physically and emotionally so that their anxiety can be turned way down.
Right. And I think that is something that I mentioned in my last episode. It's not a life sentence. I think a lot of people that struggle with anxiety have just accepted it. Like, this is who I am. And I don't think it has to be like that. There are tools out there that can, like you said, turn it down. I think I'll always lean on the anxious side of life, because that's how I was raised. But there's tools to turn that down so that it isn't hindering anything else you want to do.
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing out of what you just said is you might always have that propensity because your nervous system is wired in that way. That's what you're saying,
yep,
right?
Exactly.
However, there's a big difference of being in the passenger seat, mm-hmm, and going where you don't want to go, or being locked in the trunk, being dragged around in a car, versus being in the driver's seat and saying, okay, you know what? I have to put on some soft music. I need to relax a little bit. Maybe I'll bring a tea with me, but I'm going to be in the driver's seat of my life, not be dragged around by it.
Yes, that's a perfect way to say it. Well, I am excited. I will share that when you launch it with our listeners and our audience.
Oh, thanks.
I think that is, I mean, I always hate to, yeah, I always hate to, I'm always like, I'm already sick of bringing up the cliche of 2020, but I think it, you know, it goes without being said. It's brought up a lot to the surface, good and bad. And I think a lot of people are struggling with that right now.
Yeah. And like we've talked about, I think we've said this now a few different times during this podcast, is anxiety is an alert signal. 2020, everything that's going on, it's an alert signal. How do we use what's coming to us to grow from it?
Yeah. 2020 is setting off our flight or fight response left and right. And it's a signal that something's, we're not aligned with it.
Yes, it is.
Well, Randy, where can we find you on social media, your website? Let us know.
My website is randyspelling.com. You could see all my programs and one-on-one coaching, private coaching. And then, social media, Instagram is randyspelling.com. I mean, at Randy Spelling.
I do that as well. Awesome. Randy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, this is great.
I wish you lived closer and we could just hang out and weren't in the middle of a pandemic, but.
Me too. I want to come to the Hawaiian themed party. Actually, I was jealous. I saw what you shared this morning and I saw Brad cleaning the kitchen in pajama pants. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's me. Brad and I should just be drinking coffee, cleaning kitchens together in the morning.
Hey, I need my wardrobe for this interview now. I'm not wearing sweatpants.
So. Oh, okay. Okay. Good stuff for you. You know, this is the new business attire these days.
I'm loving it. I'm digging it.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's always fun.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode of Get Wealthy. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it and you like what we're up to, please remember to subscribe to us, rate us, review us, whatever you can do to show some love on your favorite podcast platform. We are so appreciative. It really helps us grow and, you know, that's always a good thing. Thank you guys so much, and we will see you next week.